turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Second Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." This morning, I do not presume to take the place of some of the great prophets of the Old Testament and say that by any stretch of the imagination that we are in the same spiritual realm as they were. But I believe as Jeremiah looked upon his nation, and the Bible calls him a weeping prophet, and as Isaiah looked upon the same nation and says they call good evil and evil good, I believe that we should be as troubled as they are, as they were, in the conditions of the system of the world in which we live. Certainly, as I said, we're not on the plane where they were, but I believe we can be troubled as they were. And I believe we can be bothered because of the wickedness that is everywhere. The Bible says there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those after should live ungodly." And you'll notice there in verse number 4 of our text, it says, "For if God spared not." And that sentence continues on until you get to the end of verse 7. It's a complete sentence. It's a long sentence. But if God spared not the angels that sinned, if God spared not the old world, that's Noah's world, and if God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah, why are we presumptuous to think that God would spare us? Last month, our country celebrated 235 years of existence. A little over a quarter of a millennial. As far as countries are concerned, we're still a young nation. Because some of the histories of many of those European countries are far longer than ours. I think we understand that with age comes some things that are maybe not so desirable, especially in our own life. We find that with age we lose our hair, we lose our teeth, we lose our sight, we lose our hearing. I find I'm losing my patience, and I always know I'm losing my mind. I just can't remember what I used to remember. And so with age comes some loss of things, physically, and I believe countrywide. There are some things in our country that it's the best it's ever been. And don't get me wrong, I thank God for my country. We have access to more information. We have ability to learn, but we're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We can leave today and get on an airplane, a jet, and fly across the country. We can be here this morning and there this afternoon. And so we have every imaginable good thing that we can have. We even have televisions that you can watch two programs at one time. My TV will watch four programs at a time. Sharon won't let me. So we have a lot of things. We can make a telephone call from the car. It used to be called a car phone. It literally was a car phone. It had to be in the car to get the power. Now we carry it in our pockets. And we can call anywhere in the world. I got a phone call the other day, didn't recognize the number. I knew it was a strange number. I answered the thing, and guess who it was? Solomon Owolabi. My heart fluttered because I know he's in Africa. And I know there's a bill that comes with that. But we can still do it. And so we have many, many advantages. But yet, when it comes to some things that are very important, I don't believe I'm too impressed. There's some negative things about our country. There's some negative things about the people of our country. I do not believe we are improving on a lot of things. I do not believe we are evolving. I believe we are degenerating and maybe disintegrating. Too many Americans this morning can't read. Too many Americans can't write. If you don't believe me, come and look sometime. And we're just a small segment. Too many of us do not know English. By the way, that is the language of our country. Americans won't work. They won't marry. They won't take care of their children. They don't take care of the elderly. They don't pay their bills. They won't honor their contracts. They won't tell the truth. They won't stand for righteousness. They won't read their Bibles. They won't honor the Lord. There's problems. We have a nation that has rejected scriptural truth. We have a nation that has accepted alternate lifestyles that is not alternate. They're sin. We have acceptance of sodomy as a lifestyle. More and more states are approving that. And we're just sitting by and we're having to watch it. Schools now are pushing the agenda that you must teach that this is well and good. California has just put in the passing their legislation. The governor, I think Brown, has signed that. He's very liberal. Doesn't know anything about God. Doesn't want to know about God. But he signed into law that in the schools you have to teach that homosexuality is a lifestyle that is acceptable. We have companies that push immoral agendas. We have young men making plans to kill their classmates and their teachers the first day of school. We heard that this week. It's unthinkable that that would happen in our country. We have judges that have overruled the law of the land, which is the Constitution. Most people don't even know the Constitution. Most lawyers that are constitutional lawyers, if you'll ask them, many of them have never read the Constitution, but yet they're constitutional lawyers. They don't study the Constitution, they study the cases that have been connected with the Constitution. We have a Congress that will not make up their mind on hard choices. They're afraid they'll lose the vote. We have a commander that will not have a national day of prayer, and he will not present an Easter message, but he'll have the Muslims' day of prayer on the steps of the Capitol. And he'll make a national statement to every Muslim holiday that comes up. Every one of them. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. It doesn't matter how great we are. It doesn't matter how powerful we are. It doesn't matter how many things we have. That does not change the Word of God, that every nation that forgets God will be cast into hell. Yesterday morning, I sat in my chair and I watched the news. And the first thing that I heard is that our country has lost our AAA financial rating. For what that means, I don't know, but it sounds bad to everybody else, so I'm going to agree it's probably not good. First time it's ever happened in our country. The next thing I heard was that we had 31 special ops killed in Afghanistan. And you ask the question, what is it really for? These Navy SEALs that are the elite groups that will protect us. I heard also yesterday in the news that Texas is literally burning up 35, 36 days, something like that, of over 100 degree weather. The state is literally drying up. They've had no rain in over a year, some places. The next thing I heard was that over on the East Coast, there in the Carolinas, some of them was suffering because of all the great floods and having rain 2 inches an hour, and they just couldn't handle it. And saw they showed a motel that the whole ceiling just came in because of the rain. Today, the news was that the United States Air Force will no longer use Bible verses in preparing themselves as they teach those that have the authority to push the nuclear button how to handle it. The Bible's not important anymore. So my friend, we are living in a world, we're living in a nation that has forgotten God. And I ask the question, can America be salvaged? I don't know. I try not to be a pessimist, but I doubt it. Can America be saved? Can America make a change? Well, I know America cannot without some things. It's not enough to vote in a new congressman. It's not enough to vote in a new representative. It's not even enough, and I hope we do vote in a new president, but that's not enough. It's not political change that will help us. It is righteousness that will help us. It is not the things that people do that will help us in bettering ourselves. It's not the thing of giving more money to orphanages and things that are very needful and helpful in the country. That's not what we need. We have got to have some moral fiber that comes only from the Scripture. Because man left to himself has no morality. Man left to himself has nothing that can better himself. We're not pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We cannot do that. We must turn it over to the Lord. I heard this morning, it's probably happening right now, that they're on a conference call, all the G7 nations trying to figure out how we're going to take care of all this financial problem that is worldwide. I'll tell you what, there's more power right here in this room if we get a hold of God than there is in that room. There's more here than there is there. But we seem to have lost the idea how important it is to get a hold of the Lord. And we are gradually watching our country be dismantled. We're watching a great country begin to fall, and I'm afraid the fall is going to be like a snowball that starts at the top of the hill, and as it rolls, it picks up more momentum and picks up more casualties along the way. Can America be saved? If God spared not the angels that sinned, He's not going to spare us. If God spared not the old world, you read from Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 6, that's the old world. Genesis 6 tells you what kind of condition the world was. And the Lord time and time again said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so if God didn't spare the angels that sinned, if God didn't spare the world that sinned, if God didn't spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that sinned, and unless we do something very rapidly and very pointedly, God will not spare our great nation. Again, I believe we're living in the last moments of the last days. As I said in our Sunday school hour this morning, that all these things that are taking place is that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. God's going to work it out the way He wants it worked out and the way He's planned it to be worked out. And it doesn't matter who's where. The Scripture will be fulfilled. But is there a chance, as long as we're living and as long as we're having the freedom that we still have, can America be salvaged? Well, I don't think we can. I know we cannot be saved or salvaged, first of all, without prayer. I really don't like to talk about prayer because I find myself under conviction for the lack of it. I really don't like to talk about getting a hold of God because I find myself not getting a hold of God like I should. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Boy, that describes America. That describes the American church. That describes the American family. And Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses, all of our good works are nothing more than filthy, dirty, putrefying rags that would be wrapped around the unclean. Verse 7 says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." I believe we need to be stirred up just a little bit. I believe as a child of God, as a Christian, we all need to be stirred up to take a hold of the horns of the altar of God and get a hold of Him and beg for our families and for our country. Right now, I'm more interested in my family than I am anything else because I'm afraid and I'm almost sure that my grandchildren are not going to live in the country that I grew up in. They may not even have the same opportunity to hear the gospel that I heard. And that's serious. "There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Oh, but listen to the last part of verse number 7. Isaiah 64 says, "For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us." Why would God do that? Why would God hide His face? Why would God consume Israel? The last four words of that verse says, "Because of our iniquities." If God spared not, He's not going to start now. We are not going to salvage these things without prayer. I believe we need fervent prayer. The Bible tells us in the book of James, in James chapter number 5, it says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not, and the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." So the Scripture says here that Elijah prayed and it didn't rain, and Elijah prayed and it did rain. But what kind of prayer did he have? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm glad God's still on the throne, and I'm glad God can still hear me. My congressman won't hear me. My statesman won't hear me. My president won't hear me. All of society don't hear us, but I'm glad God hears me. He is the one that can listen to us, and as we cry to Him, and we'll never make a change unless there's a fervent effort of prayer of saying, "Oh God, help us and God save us." It'd do us good maybe to go back and read the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, what he saw his country digress to. And we're seeing the same thing in our country. Fervent prayer, faithful prayer, family prayer. We just need to pray. Things will not change unless Christians pray. Will that happen? I don't think it's gotten rough enough yet. I don't believe it's gotten hard enough yet. Because when we go do, and we're all guilty, I'm as guilty as everybody else, we go out and we do what we want to do, never thinking about tomorrow. But when it gets rough enough that we can't do what we want to do, we might pray. God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to bring us to our knees. For 2 years now, we've heard about the Great Recession. What it does, there's no recession on Sunday when you go out and try to find a place to eat. Me involved. So it hasn't gotten rough as it can get. And it maybe hasn't gotten as rough as it will get. We need to pray to God and say, "Oh God, will you help us?" Amen. Can America be salvaged? Not without prayer. It just will not happen. Somebody says, "Well, if it's going to happen the way you say the book, what does it matter to pray?" God tells us to pray. That's what matters. God says, pray without ceasing. God says, call upon Him. God says, cry to Him. Brother, I tell you what, everywhere around us may crumble and falter, but I'd like to be a hold of God when it does so He can protect me and protect you, protect churches, protect Christians. It's not going to happen without prayer. It's not going to happen without prophets or preachers. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Last four words, but I found none. God said here, I searched for somebody that I would not destroy the land. I searched for somebody that would stand in the gap, make up the difference, make the difference. God said, I looked all over Israel and I didn't find anybody that I didn't have to destroy the land. I found none. I don't believe America is going to be salvaged. I don't believe things are going to get better until we have some preachers that will preach. Amen. And forget about the political correctness. Just preach the Word of God. Amen. If you go to jail, free room and board. You don't have to pay your light bill, your water bill. I better not make fun of that. I might be there one day. But you know what I mean. If it takes that, then it takes that. If we don't pray, if we don't preach, things are not going to change. We need folks, we need preachers that's willing to preach against sin. We need preachers that will preach against the things of the world. And we need those that will protect us by standing in the gap. There's a responsibility that preachers have that nobody else has. We are duty-bound by the Lord. He has called us to preach. I guarantee you, I don't do this because I wanted to. And I haven't done it all these years because I really just really enjoy it. God makes you enjoy it. God makes you want to. But everything in me doesn't like to do all that I have to do. But we need some folks. We need some men that will be preachers and prophets of God and will stand and do what God says. Well, we'll get in trouble. Go read Jeremiah. Yes, you'll get in trouble. Go look at that picture back there. That fellow that was whipped and beaten because he preached the Word of God in our own country. Obadiah Holmes. Go read his life story. Get on the internet and read about Obadiah Holmes. And it ought to put us under the pew. Knowing what we know. Are we going to have survival? Not without prayer. Not without preachers. Now, let me clarify that. I'm not talking about this modern day junk that's called preaching. Every time I turn on somebody, it's like a stand-up comedian. All they do is get you to laugh. Or it's like a dinner club. Everybody just sits around so informal. And the fella gets up and he's got his attire on that is nothing that even looks like a Christian, much less a preacher. You say, you think a preacher ought to look different? Sometimes I think so.
Yeah, amen.
I don't like it. I'd take this off in a minute if I... And I know nobody would care, but I think there's a thing there of what we are.
Yeah, amen.
And we'll never do it without preaching the Word of God. I've got a series of videos that I'd like to work up where we could watch them. It is concerning this modern day evangelism, the modern day gospel. Buddy, no wonder the world's going to hell. Because the modern day evangelism has nothing in conjunction with the Word of God. Those old time preachers, George Whitefield, most churches, most Baptist churches wouldn't let him through the door. And if they did, they wouldn't want him back. Men like Jonathan Edwards, but they had the power of God upon them. What's the difference? We'll never salvage America without prayer, without prophets. We'll never salvage America without purity. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to a people. We need purity in our legislation. That's almost a joke. It is a joke. How many have been kicked out or voted out or resigned because of immorality? And then you have fellows like Barney Frank that's an open, avowed homosexual, and his constituency where he's from keeps voting him in. He's a reprobate. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, whether it be in our legislation, whether it be in our lifestyles, or whether it be in our leadership. And we don't have it anywhere. We'll never survive. And lastly, we'll not salvage our country without putting the Lord first. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. It talks about putting the Lord first. We must have recognition of His blessings. It is because of Him that we are here this morning. It is because of His watch care over us. It's because of His love, His grace to us that we're here. It's not because we got in our car and we drove here. God gave us ability to do it. God gave us ability to have it. It's all because of Him. Until we learn to put the Lord first again, America's doomed. In recognition of His blessings, in reverence, nothing is reverent anymore. Everything is jokeable. Everything can be drugged through the mud and nobody cares. You can curse God and go on. You can curse Jesus Christ and it doesn't matter. Everybody laughs at you. You're one of the gang. I'll tell you what, it does matter to God. And one day we'll stand before Him. We'll not salvage this country unless we put the Lord first. It's an amazing thing to me how many people claim to be a Christian and yet all these things are going on in our country. Somewhere we're falling. Somewhere the Christian is failing. Don't blame the drunkard. Don't blame the crowd out there. Blame the crowd in here. Inside the church doors. Inside the house of God. There's where the blame lies, is because we're not doing what we need to do. Without putting the Lord first, recognizing His blessings and reverence to His name and repentance to His Son. Oh God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Turn back to Romans chapter number 1, and with this we'll close. In Romans chapter number 1, we've read it many times, we'll not read all these verses again. It talks about turning the truth of God into a lie and change the God Himself to four-footed beasts and creeping things and all the changes that take place. The verse 27 talks about men and women leaving the natural use of the man and the woman. We see that everywhere. I heard someone say the other day, just a sideline, I heard someone say the other day, it wasn't a preacher, it was a lady. She said, I believe the biggest danger in America is not from the terrorist. She said, I believe it's from the homosexual crowd. She said, more people have died from AIDS and all the related problems of that than they did the one terrorist attack on our country. And that's true. Regardless, that's her thought. But God puts all this together. And then verse number 28. And even as they, you lump them all together. This word they is they knew not God, they glorified Him not, they changed God, they did they. Now verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want God in their knowledge. They don't want to talk about God. That's why they don't want the Ten Commandments listed. That's why the Air Force has just done away with their biblical verses to help people cope if they have to push the button. They don't want God in their knowledge. Notice what happens. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death. You see, when we don't want to retain God in our knowledge, that's the end result. Paul gives us a whole list there of the end result when you don't want God. And I believe that's where our country is this very moment. Will it ever change? I don't know. But I know one thing. It won't change without prayer. It won't change without preachers. It won't change without purity. And it will not change without putting Christ in His rightful place. May God help us to make those things sure in our personal life. Can we have a national voice? No, we don't have that. But we have a voice right here. We have a voice in our home. We have a voice in our church. We have a voice in our extended families. They ought to see us living for God. Well, it won't do any good. It won't do any good if you don't. Try it. You might like it. We must do these things to save our world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about my world and your world, your family, your home, your church. May God help us to do that. Let's stand together this morning.